Hi there. I want to tell you, thank you so much for being a Patreon supporter. This is an exclusive free show just for you. This is a little bonus content, and it's just for you. It's for me and you. I'm going to catch up, and I just want to say thank you. Honestly, like, you know, all jokes aside, the Patreon supporters are what's keeping this thing alive, and I want to thank you so much. It means a lot to me. Here's the show. Hello, friend. This is, of course, your host, Isaac. And I want to talk to you. Your mama and your cousin, too. Yes, today, I want to talk right to you, right to your ear hole. I'm going to fill it. Fill it with nonsense. Today, we're talking about aliens. I know, shocker, right? More alien talk. Well, the reason we're going to do that is because we can't avoid it. These occultists, they seek to make contact. They want to pierce that veil. And they want to bring the alien demons into our world. Do we want to let that happen? Hell no. Come on. No, we don't. We're going to get into a couple ideas here today about, first let's talk about the alien space rock. If you've been following the news, on Tuesday, November 6th, 2018, there were some headlines about this space rock, looked like a big cigar, zooming through the solar system. It was a comet, to be precise, for all you space nerds out there. I want to make sure I use the right verbiage. It was all over the headlines because they were saying that it could have had alien origins. And I'm going to talk to you about the fake news element of that, of course. But this, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's this cigar-shaped comet, and it was called Obama. It's a Hawaiian word for messenger. Ironically, Obama's from Hawaii too. Is there a connection to be made there? I don't know. I don't think so. The Obama comet from Hawaii. Check the birth certificate. Its name is the Hawaiian word for messenger. And I guess the space nerds were tripping out because it was going at such a high rate of velocity and maybe even accelerating that they thought maybe it had artificial origins. But like the news, and here's the thing. Like, in fact, one of my people out there messaged me and was saying I shouldn't pick on Donald Trump as much as I do, because I know half of the audience out there thinks he's the conspiracy savior, and I do not believe that. I think he is another tool in the elitist toolbox, right? He passed all those tax cuts that help the top 1%, because they need all the help they can get, apparently. but it remains to be seen. I remain skeptical about his place in helping the middleman out, the middle class out, and all that stuff. But whatever, we're not here to talk about that. But he talks about the fake news thing, and it's a precarious position because we can't say that all news is fake and the mainstream media is lying to us all of the time, because it begs the question of where do you go for your news? Well, the next step in that logic chain is to either choose the people you trust or maybe have a state government sponsored news. We don't want that, right? That's too 1984-ish. So, but the truth is, Donald Trump isn't entirely wrong. Sometimes the mainstream media gets it really wrong, and they have corporate interest involved, so they tell you stuff just to, you know, they've got a business to run. So, like, I get both arguments there. I do worry that there are plans to make a government-sponsored news agency. We want a free media, free press, even though they're a bunch of bastards, it's still better that way, right? So the fake news thing, I always kind of, that's the one thing me and Trump can meet halfway on. But the reason, and this is a whole, this supports him a little bit here with that, the whole fake news argument, is because this was all over the news talking about, you know, all this clickbait, oh my God, space alien rock. But if you read through the actual document that the space nerds put together, I think they call it a white paper. It was in the Astrophysical Journal, titled "Could Solar Radiation Pressure Explain Obama's Peculiar Acceleration?" And they go through and they're dropping formulas and all kinds of stuff that most of us don't care about. But if you get to the last page, well, the fourth page is five pages, but the fifth page is like 90% references. If you go to almost to the last page, the fourth page, second to last paragraph, this is the only mention of aliens. It says, you know, it goes through this whole idea using big words that I don't even know what they mean. Talking about the densities of the stars and collusional destruction of centrifugal and tidal forces and so on. But it says, alternatively, a more exotic scenario is that Obama may be a fully operational probe sent intentionally to Earth vicinity by an alien civilization. Based on the Pan-STARRS survey characteristics and assuming natural origins following random trajectories, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes through some more mathematical stuff. And that's it. It was quite literally one sentence in the abstract. And they even say alternatively, and they call it a more exotic scenario. I feel like it was a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, we can't rule it out, right? If they don't know where it came from, you can't say it was not aliens. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the news sucks, right? Sometimes they do clickbaity things. And this is one of those. They try to talk about this as possibly a solar-powered probe built by an alien civilization. But the abstract doesn't really get into that much detail about it. This guy on the Washington Post, some guy tweeted, he said, my publicist asked me for a quote on the Oumuamua story making the rounds. Here it is. No, Oumuamua is not an alien spaceship, and the authors of the paper insult honest scientific inquiry to even suggest it. So, I don't know. I feel like people need to lighten up a little bit on that one. I think this is what happens when, like, the BuzzFeeds and such get a hold of a little kernel of entertainment and they blow it up to try to get clicks. That's what that is. Moving on. Jack Parsons. He is the rocket scientist that founded JPL, Jet Propulsion Labs, which is the predecessor to NASA. I've talked about it many times. I even had my dude on here talking about him a couple months ago. And I will be talking about him on the Marjorie Cameron special. Watch for it. It's coming someday, some glorious day. I will do that. It's the problem. Here's the problem, folks. I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen real good. This podcast, it started out, I used to do them twice a month. Because I thought, you know, there's no way I could do once a week. But when I really started to focus my efforts on this about a year ago, I found that there's so much going on that it's hard to keep up. There's so many things in the news. They're kind of time sensitive. I've got to talk to you about them. So that's why the Marjorie Cameron thing hasn't been recorded yet. But I assure you, it's coming. By God, by the end of 2018, you're going to hear all about Marjorie Cameron. So, Marjorie Cameron, she was married to Jack Parsons, right? She thought she was, so like Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, they did this ritual out in the desert to evoke a spirit to create the Antichrist. And the next thing you know, Parsons meets Cameron, bada bing, bada boom. He pierces the veil, if you know what I'm saying. And they fall in love. And then through a winding, weaving series and sequence of events, which I will highlight in my Marjorie Cameron special, she finds out that she indeed was to be the Whore of Babylon to make the little Antichrist baby, which is not so ironically kind of what we're seeing on American Horror Story Apocalypse, which again is in my queue of things to talk to you about in the future once the season is over. It's a very interesting season. But anyways, CBS All Access, which means not good enough for TV, but just streaming, they had a whole season for Strange Angel. This is a show about Jack Parsons. And from the trailer, it is evident that they were not bashful about the ritual, magic, and occult background that this man had. Based upon my reading of the man, he followed Konstantin Soyakovsky. This is the first ancient alien astronaut guy. He had the big giant hair and wore a lot of brown. No, that's Tsoukalos, my bad. No, Soyakovsky is this dude who, he was into this stuff. He believed the aliens were going to be the gods, and he believed in this universal consciousness stuff, panpsychism. And this is like the 1800s. So Parsons followed Soyakovsky, as did Wenne von Braun from the Operation Paperclip, the Nazi party, who came to America to film Disney propaganda films. So, yeah, so they have this whole season about it. And I haven't seen it yet. I know, I suck. Been real busy lately. But you can watch, apparently you can stream it for free. You get like a 1 week free whatever. I guess you got to pay for this All Access thing. You can get it for free for a week. I'm going to do that and kind of plow through it probably during the holidays when I can get a little free time. But I'm going to read you the press release about this show because there's exciting developments. Season 2 on the way. It says CBS All Access announced the second season renewal of the original series Strange Angel. The period drama explores the bizarre true story of Jack Parsons, a man who straddled the worlds of science and the occult, pioneering America's rocketry program while simultaneously practicing sex magic rituals and living by the creed, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is all that? Not to mention, in CBS's press release, they spelled magic M-A-G-I-C-K. They know what is going on. The all-seeing eye of CBS absolutely knows. Their pineal gland has been opened. The K at the end of magic, of course, put there by Crowley himself, to signify the difference between stage magic and ritual magic. And of course, they put the whole phrase there, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." It goes on, it says, at the conclusion of the first season, Jack and his team from Caltech make a scientific breakthrough that secures the military's interest as the country nears the brink of war. In season 2, the U.S. is fully engaged in World War II, transforming Jack's rocketry work into a lucrative business and further entrenching him in the military-industrial complex. While Jack's career takes off, he and his wife Susan's devotion to their new occult religion grows, leading them to invite the sex cult into their Pasadena mansion and to forge a personal relationship with the group's notorious founder, Aleister Crowley himself. So, apparently, because again, I haven't watched the first season, apparently we're going to get deeper into it. Marjorie Cameron, I'm going to guess, is going to make her appearance in this second season. Of course not. You know, she's dead. Someone to portray her on the screen. Now, what I found curious was that Strange Angel was created by Mark Heyman. Heyman? Heyman? He he was also part of the creation for Black Swan, Darren Aronofsky. Darren Aronofsky, Illuminati confirmed. He is known for putting Gnostic symbols and messages and themes in his movies. If you haven't seen Mother, then you're in for a real treat, because that's like some next level Gnosticism. I'm supposed to do a show about that with a friend. You might know that friend, Jimmy the Jackhammer. Jimmy the Jackhammer from the Area 51. We got to find a good day to link up calendars and talk about it, because it's very curious. In fact, I'm going to be interviewing Robert Sullivan, 32nd degree Freemason. And we're going to talk a little bit about Aronofsky, because The Black Swan is a very curious film. It's got a lot of symbolism worth looking into. And I don't want to steal the thunder, so I'll let Robert Sullivan talk about that. He's the guy who wrote Cinema Symbolism 1 and 2, The Royal Arch of Enoch, I think it's called. Oof. But anyways, the series is also used or associated with Scott Free Productions, which you may already know is Ridley Scott. And Ridley Scott makes an appearance in my book, The Dark Path, because he obviously gave us Prometheus, Alien Covenant. And he went on record talking about the aliens. Do you remember that? Ridley Scott said that he believes in the aliens. He called them superior beings, which of course shows you his place. And he said, I got the quote right here. An expert I was talking to at NASA said to me, have you ever looked in the sky at night? You mean to tell me we are it? That's ridiculous. And then he said he thinks there's 100 to 200 similar species out there right now. And he said, when you see a big thing in the sky, run for it, because they're a lot smarter than we are. And if you are stupid enough to challenge them, they will take you out in 3 seconds. I don't know if he's wrong. I think that looking at the way we treat animals, it would be the same way that if they are indeed out there and they are indeed further evolved, that is how they will treat us. I think some of them might have sympathy, but I think they might get pushed to the side for those that want to, I don't know, be the capitalist aliens, maybe. So yeah, they're going to have a second season. Prepare for that. Also in the news, poltergeist expert who abused children while watching horror films, and in a Renfrew cemetery, is jailed for 6 years. Sorry, this is like over in the UK. Renfrew, you know, I can't pronounce words right, but this guy, he called himself a paranormal expert. He got 6 years in jail. Pretty light sentence. After sexually molesting 3 boys during a 12-year period of abuse. Says he began offending when he was 12 years old and kept going. He was 43 when he got arrested. So he had been doing this for many, many years. And the one victim said that he was targeted by watching horror films together. And this guy went on to become a demonologist and an investigator of the paranormal and the occult. He was giving lectures all over the world and so on. And he talked about how he has investigated the poltergeist and demonic possessions and witchcraft and the occult. And he was this psychic. But the point I'm trying to make here, and I know several of you out there are occultists listening, because you're interested in these subjects also. And I try not to put a bias on this. But what I am saying is that, and you occultists know this, people like, people that get into this, sometimes they go mad. That's what Crowley even said when he talked about approaching Coron Zone in the Abyss. You can go mad if you are not prepared. So, like I've said before, I like to warn people about this sort of occult stuff. Hunting ghosts. All these TV shows got you interested to hunt ghosts. And I've done that before. And that stuff can really follow you home. It really can. It seems like it's a good time. And to be honest, I still watch, what's that douchebag's name? Ghost Adventures. I watch Zach Bagans. I mean, he seems fine, right? But I think everyone I've talked to thinks he's a douchebag. He's probably fine, though. You know, what people don't get is, like, in the entertainment industry, it's a lot harder than it looks. So, I don't judge too many people for their TV persona. But yeah, anyways, I watched The Ghost Adventures, and it makes it very... It's a very interesting thing, and, like, I'm drawn to these dark things as well, so I find myself wanting to go ghost hunting, but I used to do it a long time ago and had some very peculiar things happen. I had some energies turning on an intercom. I talked to deceased relatives. And the thing is, you don't know if these are real spirits or these are like demonic spirits or what. The power of discernment is not powerful enough for me personally, so I don't find myself wanting to do that. Now, that leads us to Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. I'm still watching the shows. I am on, I believe, episode 5 now, moving at a snail's pace. There's been a lot of things going on with that. Did you see, and in episode 4, she goes into this Academy of the Unseen Arts, and right on display, right there, front and center, is the Baphomet, the big goat of Mendes. Well, turns out that the Satanic Temple is suing poor little Sabrina for using the image of the Baphomet without their permission. Because it's actually, the statue looks identical to the one that they were trying to put on the front lawn of the, you know, wherever that was, Kansas or wherever they had the Ten Commandments. Do you recall that? And it's curious because the Satanic Temple there, they are suing because the people that made Sabrina could have used any sort of image of the Baphomet, but they chose one that looked just like the statue they had. But I guess they don't like it because they're saying that the show is associating their Baphomet with the patriarchal cult that Sabrina finds herself in. So I think it's very curious. We've really made a 180 since the 1980s with the Satanic Panic movement, where instead of like parents being up in arms about this stuff being on their kids' TV show, it's the Satanists that are upset because it's not the right depiction of what they want. And I'm not saying that's bad, whatever. I'm just saying that it's a real curious time we're in. If you ever thought about the occult and their practices, and you ever looked at the entertainment industry and how they've slowly indoctrinated the masses to accept this stuff, the next step is to start practicing. And I think that's only the natural next step for a lot of people out there, because when you've got the publicity like the Catholic Church has about covering up the molestation of kids, you got to think, well, shit, how bad can the witchcraft stuff be? At least they're not molesting the kids. So, like, look, I get it. Like, I don't know what to do about that. I'm not a Catholic, so. But that does look bad for most Christians. The same with evangelicals that get a little too zealous about things. It's just a bad look. And I think a lot of young people are abandoning these old antiquated ideas. A lot of people don't agree with the way that the church treats the LGBTQ community. But that's a discussion for another time. But and to piggyback onto that discussion, in episode 3, there's a part where the one girl's struggling with whatever, some problem, and her friends come around, and she says something to the effect of how, you know, thoughts and prayers won't help this. And that's a pretty big narrative lately, if you've seen that in the last year or two, with all the school shootings and stuff. is that a lot of the sort of hard left wingers say stuff about how enough of the thoughts and prayers, that doesn't help. And I get their sentiment. I really do. They're just saying they want some change. But, like, you know, I would appreciate thoughts and prayers if I was going through something. I think there's an energetic connection to be had there. And, in fact, even the occultists believe that with all that, like, meditation stuff. It's the same stuff. It is sort of mental playing with the cosmos, and no different than the ritual magic that you see these occultists trying to practice. I want to talk to you about, I want to continue a conversation we started last week, talking about the food industry, the supposed nutrition. I talked about Monsanto a little bit, high fructose corn syrup. Well, there was a news article talking about how they found glyphosate in the foods, the cereals and crap that the kids are eating. What is glyphosate? Well, it's the same chemical you find in Roundup, the weed killer. In fact, a guy named Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock, he sued Monsanto. He was a farmer, I believe, who was using Roundup, and he caught some kind of terminal cancer that they linked to it. And he won millions of dollars from Monsanto. They actually kind of settled out. He wanted, you know, X amount, and they gave him X divided by 2 or something. But he won this award because it was true. Like, it gave this guy terminal cancer. And then Monsanto is trying to say, oh, look, there's hundreds of studies proving that that Roundup is safe. Sure, right. Because, like, much like the news, you got to look at who's paying for this stuff. Now, that's what I was talking about with the CrossFit thing. That's why cult leader Greg Glassman, he is suing because these studies that have partial government funding, they take money from the high fructose corn syrup companies like Coca-Cola. You got to see who's doing the studies, because they can be very deceptive. And that's an idea about science overall, is you've got to kind of play, you got to do the smell test. Sometimes, you know, science is a double-edged sword. It could be used to make your life better, or it could be used to find the answer they're looking for. Do you remember the big stink had, I think it was on Twitter, which is the place for complaining. There was an anatomy website, or one of those like WebMD kind of websites, and they labeled a vagina as a front hole. And it was a big to-do in all the news. They talked about, you know, everyone was up in arms like, well, damn it, why can't we just call it a vagina? Why's it got to be a front hole? And the supposed response was, well, it's a front hole because we don't know which, you know, gender identifies with this, so we don't know if they call it a vagina or a front hole. Which, yeah, it sounds stupid, right? Like, it's a vagina, not a front hole. That's insane, right? But the question I have is, who actually wrote that? I had never heard of this website. It wasn't WebMD. It was something along those lines. But it was like a website that was nothing. I mean, anyone can make a website. Quite literally, anyone can make a website. And why do we all jump on this and believe the internet so quick? How do we know that wasn't a foreign troll trying to get us to argue about stuff? Meanwhile, all kinds of crazy stuff's happening in the government. It's a false reality they're trying to create. The internet is a false reality. The Google, the results that they give you are what they want you to see. The ads that they show you on the sidebars are paying them. And I assure you, because I know this from personal experience, because I used to be in the top page of Google searches for my content, if you looked up Illuminati anything. And all of a sudden now, when you look up like Illuminati symbolism on award shows, you don't see websites like mine on the front page. Now you see websites like MTV.com, because they make dumb articles about this that don't make any sense and have no substance. It's all this false reality. It's the matrix they're trying to put us inside of. the digital matrix, my friends. Anyways, that is the news for the week. I wanted to catch you guys up. We're going to talk some more. I've got the Robert Sullivan interview coming up. That's going to be very good. He's going to talk about the symbolism in movies. So, again, thank you for your patronage. Thanks for leaving the ratings on iTunes and so on. You know the drill. Thank you for all the great things you do and your support. And as always, be your best for those who deserve your best.